Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Monte Carlo Fashions Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jigisha Kapoor from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global, I would like to welcome you all to Q2 and H1 FY23 post-results conference call of Monte Carlo Fashions Limited. From the company, we have with us the senior management, including Mr. Dinesh Bhogna, Director, Mr. Sandeep Jain, Executive Director, Mr. Rishab Oswal, Executive Director, and Mr. R.K. Sharma, CFO of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Jain for initial comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this earnings call of Monte Carlo Fashions to discuss the financial and operating performance for half yearly and quarterly performance of financial 2023. I would like to highlight that certain statements made or discussed over the conference call today will be a forward-looking statement. A disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. Result documents are also available on the company's website and also have been updated on the stock exchanges. A transcript of this call would also be made available on the investor section of company's website. Now let me share the financial and operational highlights of H1 and Q2 of financial 2023. The company reported revenues of 248 crore during quarter two financial 2023, as against 238 crore, thus registering a growth of 4.3% year-on-year. Revenue from online channel sale is 8.2 crore for this quarter. Operating EBITDA for this quarter was 50 crore against 52.7 crore in Q2 financial 2022. The PAT stood at 30.3 crore as compared to 33.9 crore in Q2 financial 2022. Revenue from operation H1 financial 2023 stood at 361 crore as against 280 crore in H1 financial 2022, thus growing by 29% year-on-year. Online sales for the first half stood at 12.2 crore. Operating EBITDA was 55.2 crore in H1 financial 2023 as against 44 crore in H1 financial 2022. Thus it is growing 25% year-on-year. PAT stood at 26.4 crore as against 23.7 crore in H1 financial 2022, growing by 11% year-on-year. Our balance sheet remains robust, and we continue to enjoy a net debt-free status. We have a cash balance of 277 crore, which comprises cash and bank balances along with the current and non-current investments. Long-term borrowing is 6.7 crore as of September 2022, compared to 8.3 crore as of September 2022, which shows our efficiency in serving the debt. Monte Carlo Fashions continues with its endeavor to build a leading branded apparel company with a well-diversified product portfolio such as cotton, woolen, kids, and home furnishing. Apart from the cotton segment, we also produce different other garments. We also produce cotton and cotton-branded T-shirts in the economy category under the brand Clock & Decker. The ability to tap various market segments provides the company a tremendous opportunity for growth in the coming years. The key strength is a wide and growing distribution network with a diversified presence across India. The company's products reach the end user through different distribution channels. The company currently has 2,252 MBOs plus SIS and  336 EBOs, 687 national chain stores. Concerning online sales, we are looking to focus more on selling through our own portal. However, our clothes are also available on various e-commerce websites such as Ajio, Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, FirstCry, Jibong, and Capson. The company has opened 14 new stores in different regions and at the same time closed a few non-performance stores also. In the half yearly itself, the company achieved more than 50% of the target of opening 30 EBOs in financial year. Most of our net revenue is from franchise, EBOs, and MBOs, where we primarily sell on pre-order or outright basis. Under this business model, there is no significant inventory risk, and we remain insulated from the average hazard sales in branded apparel business. I would like to highlight that to date, we have experienced almost zero bad debts in our business, which stands as a testimony to our robust business model based on zero credit risk policy for the company. At Monte Carlo, we pledged to provide our customers with finest clothing through product innovations, high quality, and the launch of new collections from time to time. Moreover, we continually work towards changing the look and the feel of our stores to give our customers a best-in-class experience. We are optimistic about future growth and earning potential. We believe that we have a strong foundation for the future, which we can provide us with sustainable and profitable growth for the longer term. While our focus will be to maximize revenue growth going forward, our considerable interest is to build profitability by maintaining cost control measures. Now we can open the floor for the question and answer session. If you have any of your queries post this earning call, you may also write us at investor@montecarlocorporate.com or contact us through Dickinson World, our investor relations advisors. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Rahul Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I would like to know how your brand Rocket performed in this quarter.
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Rishabh to comment on this.
So, hi, good morning. So, the brand Rocket is currently only available online. Coming forward in this summer, we will be available in offline, and in this financial year, we'll be clocking around 10 to 15 crores of turnover from the brand, which was 5 crores last year.
Okay, okay. And so my next question is, what is the current status of the new Jammu and Kashmir project?
See, the current status is that I think we'll be hopefully able to register the land in this November itself, as most of the documents have been processed and change of land use documents has been processed by the government. So most probably the land will be registered in our name in November itself. And we have already hired a consultant for architect and the PMC consultants. And we also hired few people. So hopefully we'll be able to start the process by next month.
So you are telling that the land will be land you will acquire by next 1 or 2 months?
No, land will be acquired in this month itself.
Okay, and when can we expect the operations?
It takes almost, 9 months to 12 months to have the production on the floor. So we can expect this to have a production in third quarter of next financial year.
Okay, okay. So probably around Diwali. Okay.
Around that time, positively.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. A couple of questions from my side. We have doubled our online sales to close to 19 crore from 8.2 crore year on year, and even the H1 figures have almost doubled. So you're saying that since Rocket is sold online, solely online, so just wanted to understand whether these sales are coming from our online partners, from our own website, like, you know, have we been able to achieve double the number of online sales. And the second question is that will we open more than 30 new stores this FI net of closing, or do we stick to our annual guidance of opening 30 stores this financial year?
So I would come to the second question first. We have given a guidance of 30 stores in the beginning of this year for this financial year. So the net store addition, now we are revising that guidance. I'm happy to announce that we'll be opening around 40 to 45 stores in this financial year. And the net store addition should be between 40 to 45 in this financial year as compared to last year. And again, I'll ask Mr. Rishabh to comment on the online sales and the Rocket sales for this financial year.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. So for the first question, if I heard it right, our contribution of our own website, MonteCarlo.in, is around 15 to 20% of the total online sale. The other 80% happens through different portals under different models. And Rocket right now is selling online, but it is not a major contributor to the sales online. It is going forward when I give the guidance on. So when I give the guidance of 10 to 15 crores, majority of it will come through offline distribution channels going forward in the upcoming summer season. So the contribution of Rocket in online sale is not that much. Majority of it is through Monte Carlo brand.
See, we took a decision to change the strategy in favor of offline channel when we have discussed with the market people and the distributors. So it made sense for us to launch Rocket in the distribution channel to have the more growth in this brand.
Okay, just a follow-up to the first question. Since own website is contributing to 15 to 20%, so are we seeing more revenue, more demand from the other e-commerce partners we have in online sales? And the second question follow-up is that you're revising the guidance to 40-45 stores. So we would be opening net 40-45, right, after closing?
Yes, 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 net 40-45 stores in this financial year as compared to earlier guidance of 30.
And can I have answered the first first question?
Your voice is not audible. Can you please repeat the first question again?
Sure. Is it audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm asking is that since our own website is contributing close to 15-20% of online sales, so are we seeing more traction in terms of demand from the e-commerce partners we have in terms of online sales?
Yes, there is higher demand from our e-commerce partners, and also we are now focusing more on outright sales to these partners. So like Amazon and Flipkart, they've started buying outright products from us where there is no discount sharing, no return from the company side. So we are preferring more of that method since that is more profitable and profitable for us.
All right, correct. Can I just squeeze in a last question? Is it fine?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I've seen that we've doubled our ad expenses from close to 2% of revenue in H1 FY22 to close to 5% of revenue in H1 FY23. And in your presentation, you highlighted from where we are spending, in which media and through which channel we are doing advertisement. So what is the strategy in terms of advertising? Are we targeting more digital? Are we targeting more media? Can you help me? And in which region is this advertising being done? Is this done in the northern region, eastern region, where we have a substantial good presence, or is it being done in west, south, or central region where the presence is a little bit less compared to north?
See, the first question you asked about the how it doubled in this quarter as compared to last financial year. See, on the year basis, I think we'll stick to our guidance of 2-3% of budget to the revenues as far as advertising spend is concerned, and it is spread across all the geographies. It's not limited to northern, eastern or central region. It is spread to southern and western also, because we took the cinemas all across India, and the digital is already spread through various websites and various channels all across India. So I'll ask Rishabh also to contribute in this particular
sector. Yes. So as far as our strategy is concerned towards advertisement, as Nidhi said, we are spread across geographies. More focus is on online. We've reduced our spend to almost negligible when it comes to TV advertisement. But we've tied up with Air Asia. We have 10 aircrafts on board with Monte Carlo advertisement inside the aircraft. We've also taken up spots in Hotstar during the current World Cup that is happening. And so yeah, we've increased our, but we are trying to be more effective with the spend that we are doing, and we are ditching offline and TV advertisements in favor of advertisements like in theater, in aircraft, online, OTT, so things like this. But the overall spend will stick to the guidance.
Of 2-3%.
Yeah. 2-3%, yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. That's really helpful. Just last question, if you could help me with the volume numbers of H1 FY22 and H1 FY23 segment-wise of how we've been able to grow, that would be helpful.
I can give you a broad figure of woolen division, cotton division and textiles. So
sure.
In woolen divisions, the volume for this financial first half was 416,000. and which was still at 83,000 in last financial year, in last half H1. And then in cotton segment, the volume grew to 26.65 lakh pieces as compared to 22.67 lakh pieces last financial year. In textile, it is 5,82,000 pieces as compared to 5,13,000 pieces in last financial year. So overall, the growth is approximately, if we see in quantities, it is 4,44,004,000 as compared to 42 lakh pieces.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best for future. That's all from my end.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to actually check. See, in this quarter, we had only a 5% sales growth. And on top of that, the margins have also declined. And this is in spite of the fact that we have passed on all the price hikes as communicated in earlier calls. So I just wanted to know, like, what is actually happening? And we thought that the, and we, if you look at the other, other companies in the discretionary space, I think they have shown better growth. So I just wanted to have your thoughts on this.
Yeah, thank you, Nikhil. Basically, you know, when we give our guidance, we always give our annual guidance. We never give our quarterly guidance. Quarterly guidance, there are, you know, variations season to season. Sometimes there are weddings which are late. Sometimes dispatches are happening, you know, as far as seasonality is concerned. So there are variations in quarter to quarter. But overall, we remain committed to the guidance which we have given. And the margin decline, the main reason was advertising cost has come into this quarter. But the overall guidance will remain same. So it will get compensated in the next two quarters. So as far as if you see clearly that there is a 10 crore jump in advertising cost in this quarter as compared to last quarter. But that will again nullify in the coming quarters. So the overall spend will remain at 2 to 3%. And there is a drop in other income also on the extent of 4 crore. So we'll have some benefit also as now the bond yield has increased. So we'll get that benefit in the coming two quarters. So overall, I don't see any issues anywhere as far as margins are concerned. But yes, there are variations from one quarter to another quarter. But overall, for the year, we'll remain optimistic and positive.
Okay, and thank you for that. Just one more additional question. So earlier we have informed that let's say for the next winter season, so which is now actually started, so we have passed on all the price hikes and we have seen robust growth. Right? So that hopefully in the next two quarters we will make up for the sales growth and the margin. Right. So.
See, we are finding very difficult to understand your question. Please speak slowly and clearly again. I think there are the voice is not clear. Can you please repeat it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get your perspective on the next two quarters, given that earlier we have said that we have passed on all the price rise in the commodities and also we had a robust season coming in. So we will make up for our guidance in the next two quarters, both on sales as well as on margins.
Surely, we stand committed on our guidance, which we gave earlier, and when we give annual guidance, we take into account all the price hikes and also the discounts which we give in the seasons. So I think we remain committed to the guidance which we have given earlier. And as far as round table price increase is concerned, that is already being passed upon to the customer. But whatever raw material prices have come down now in this last 2 months, so that benefit will come in the next financial year.
Okay, fair. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Zaki Nasir, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Zaki, your voice cannot be heard.
Is it audible now?
Yes.
Sir, good morning and commendable performance for the quarter pro team Monte Carlo. Sandeepai, the thing is that in retail apparel, if you see the trend for other companies also, there has been a slight shift between Q3 and Q2 this year in terms of the season going up. So what is your opinion will happen to Monte Carlo? Because our best season is Q3. So would it remain the same? That is my question number one. My question number two is, you have made forays into South. How is your feel on that market, sir? Thank you.
The first question is, the quarter three, you are asking over quarter two. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a bit of overlap between the two seasons.
Yeah.
This year. So your opinion on that, sir?
See, what happens is that in company like us, you know, because when there is a change in the wedding season, change in the festivals, so there are some supply, you know, happening in September, some supplies are happening in October. So there are quarter-to-quarter variations, but we are not worried about that, as the guidance which we gave is basically of a full year basis. So the sale which has not happened in September quarter will happen in October quarter. So that is one area. And what was the second question?
Sir, your feel on the southern markets, you've
Yeah, in southern market, I think as we committed earlier also, that we'll be growing around 35% to 40% as compared to last financial year, and we are well on track. Because we have opened, you know, around four outlets also, two in Hyderabad, one in Chennai, and one in Bangalore, and that is giving us, even the response is excellent, and we have a plan to open another three outlets in South, and also two outlets in West also. So overall, we'll be opening around 20% of the total outlets what we open in pan-India, in South and West. That gives us the confidence that going forward, the guidance which we gave is 35% to 40% will be achievable.
Thank you, sir, and best wishes, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Dinesh Mistry from First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. Congratulations. I had a couple of questions. The first one was that you've increased your guidance on the stores from 30 to 45. You know, that's quite a large jump. So, A, do you have visibility of opening of the stores in terms of locking in the leases and all? And second, what has driven your, you know, sudden positivity around the store opening, sir? That's question number one.
Okay. See, the reason for going to 45 stores from current 30 stores is depending upon the market conditions. We find that the market is actually giving us, you know, there is a demand of opening EBOs in some of the markets where we were not present. So that gives us the confidence that definitely the number can be increased to 45 as compared to 30 as compared to last year. And we were a bit conservative also in our guidance in the beginning of the year because we just, you know, the COVID was ended, so the guidance was very conservative. But I think now it has given us the confidence that we can increase the guidance to 45 stores.
Got it. Got it. And these are again where? In the north or in the south, or is it equally spread?
See, as I said earlier, that we'll be opening 20% of the stores, new stores in southern and western market, and rest 50% will be opened in the rest of India.
Got it. Got it. Okay, thank you very much for that. I had just another question. See, if I compare your inventory position as of September 21 versus September 22. Of course, I know that quarter three is generally the strong quarter for us, so we have to stock up on inventory. But our inventory has grown about 30-odd% YOY on a balance sheet basis. So is it safe to assume that we can see that kind of throughput in sales in quarter three? Is it an indicator of that?
Definitely. When the company is giving a guidance of 20 to 25%, definitely there should be more inventory in the system to achieve that sales. So this is how this, you know, inventory has built up.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, if I remember correctly, last year, quarter three, we had a corporate, the CSR expenses. Do we have it this time as well?
No, we book it every quarter, you know. The rules have changed.
So
this quarter also we have booked it.
Got it. And is that why your other expenses are up?
Yeah, that is why other expenses are up, because of CSR addition of one CR in this balance.
Understood. So is it safe to assume 1 CR every quarter of CSR? Is that a correct assumption?
It is first half, you know. The first half is 1 CR, and 1 CR again will come into second half.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much, and wish you the very best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Sonal Minhas from Prescient Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, you're audible.
Sure. Sir, thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand like the effort the company has made in terms of reducing their debtor days and inventory by and large. If you could basically just share what has happened in terms of digitization of inventory, in terms of tagging the inventory, even writing down the, let's say, 1 year, 2 year old inventory, because that's something which significantly affects the gross margins of the business, and we've seen that vary quite a lot quarter on quarter. So just want to understand how you first value your inventory, which is current, which is 1 year old, 2 year old, and how has the inventory benchmarking practices improved over the course of the last 3 years.
See, inventory is valued at the cost. So whenever it comes back, we value it on the cost. And when it gets sold, so we realize the profit, or if it's sold at lesser price. And normally that inventory is very, very less. Approximately 8 to 9% of the inventory of total company which comes back, which is getting sold at our own factory outlet. Out of that, it's only 1 or 2% of the inventory which goes into bulk lots. So that, I think, incurred some loss. But otherwise, all the inventory is sold above the cost.
So every inventory is valued at cost, and whether it's 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, it's basically...
So we don't keep 3 year old inventory in our system. It's mostly 1 and 2 year old. So we try to get rid of the last two season inventory as early as possible.
And that is done through factory outlets, that is done through e-commerce. How is that done actually?
Some of them is done through factory outlets, and some of them is done through selling of bulk lots.
And bulk lots is in B2B?
Bulk lot is basically B2B.
Okay. And if I were to just quantify what percentage of inventory would be sold in bulk lots, just a ballpark.
That is, I think, hardly 1% of the total inventory. I can give you a total actual figure also of last financial year.
Just want to understand.
That is approximately 1% of the total inventory. It's not that much, because most of the inventory is getting sold at our own factory outlets. So it's just a balance. Some of the items, like you asked about 2 year back or 3 year back, we need to sell it through bulk loads, as it was not getting sold at our factory outlets.
Got it. And you said roughly 8 to 9% of the inventory comes back from third party.
So approximately in whole company.
Okay. And sir, on debtors, just want to understand, I see a downward trend from March 18 till now, debtors going down, but what is our on the ground tangible steps the company is doing to actually improve its working capital? I wanted to understand that, if you could explain that here.
See, we are making every conscious effort to bring the debtors down, and we are having a tight control on our even agents, distributors also, and our EBOs also. So that is helping us, and that is helping us to bring in debtors down.
Okay. Any near-term targets, sir? Like, for example, 1 year out, 2 year out, what is company aspiring to achieve in terms of cash conversion or debtors, basically, if there is anywhere?
We would like to bring our debtors down every year, the number of days or the debtor position. And it cannot be come down at a certain, 120 level, because we sell it around 90 days in most of the goods. And also there is some sale which is end sales basis, which also takes time. So that would be the prudent level of, I think, 120 days. You can consider it as the debtors level. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, compared to, let's say, your competitors, what would be our debtor-based practice, our channel practice, basically, if I were to just compare you to your peers in the market, are we leaving more credit on the table? Are we leaving? Is it comparable to your competitors? Just trying to understand that.
It is comparable to all the brands which are surviving in the market. You know, because when we are selling to retailers, so they have the credit period from all the companies. So mostly all of the companies who are operating in the same business area normally have more or less same credit days.
Okay. Understand that. Sure, sir. In our case,
as you know that our sales is basically happening in the third quarter. So at that time, you know, we have to supply our goods little earlier before the starting of the season. So
yes,
that
sir.
Makes some number of days more than the other companies. As some sale is happening in discounts also in Jan and Feb. because in end sales period, they give us the payments once the goods are sold. So that, that makes some of the days increase in that case. And not all companies have the, you know, third quarter revenue which is more than other quarters. So basically we are in a segment where the third quarter contributes almost 50% of the sales of the company.
Sure. So there is a reason for even holding to inventory and debtors basically.
Yeah, that's the reason that we hold maximum inventory in September quarter, because we have to dispatch those goods in September and October, and some goods goes until 15th November. So that is the reason we have to hold high inventory in our system to fulfill the winter sales.
Got it. And sir, if I may just ask, like, to understand how much, let's say, if the MRP of a product is 100 bucks, how much roughly do we leave in the channel and realize as our gross sale?
I don't have a ready figure available with us for that. I can ask my account department to check it and I'll let you know after this call is finished.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Gaurak Sujdeva, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. So you have given estimate of around 20% growth this year. If may I ask, what is your vision for the next few years, maybe 3 to 5 years? Will we be able to grow at the same pace?
See, we intend to grow at the same pace, but again, it depends on the economy. It depends on the macro conditions globally also. So, but if everything goes well and the economy is growing at 6 to 7% per annum in India, as we have been growing in this financial year, I don't think this target is difficult for us to achieve.
Okay. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Sky Ridge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. So, sir, this quarter, Q2, your advertising and business promotion expenses were very high. And you have said that, you know, you'll be maintaining the levels at 3%, right? 2.5-3. So, like, going forward in coming year, should we expect that every Q2, this particular line item will be higher than for the other quarters, or will it spread evenly across all four quarters in coming years?
We cut down our advertisement expense heavily in the COVID year in the next year. And now there is a need to increase our advertising cost because we need to promote in various geographies and various channels also. So that is why the guidance, which was 1 to 2% last 2 years, has gone up to 2 to 3%. But we'll stick to our guidance. There can be variations in quarter to quarter. In some quarter, it may appear more, and in some quarter, it may appear less. But the overall guidance will remain at 2 to 3% of the revenues.
Okay. So I should not assume that Q2 will be the highest or Q, you know?
No,
so
you should not assume that. The overall percentage will remain same, but spread, depending upon the season, depending upon the supplies, depending upon the requirement of the markets, it can change from quarter to quarter.
Okay. Good to know, sir. The second question regarding your sales growth. So in H1, you have already crossed 29% sales growth. So Q3 being the best quarter, and now that you are, you know, opening many stores, you think you'll be able to cross 30% sales for the full year, FY23?
It's a good guess. So H1 already, I think we have achieved on the line of what the company has given the guidance. And we again reiterate the earlier statement that the 20 to 25% growth is very much achievable, and we are on the track of that. And there might be some surprises if the season goes very well.
Very good, sir. So then third question, J&K facility will only be producing blankets, right? Or will we have a machinery to, you know, accommodate some other products also?
Sir, can you please repeat it?
Sir, J&K facility, it will only be producing blankets, or we will have the equipment and machinery to be able to produce some other products too?
No, this facility is put for blankets and quilts. So, we'll be making quilts also. We will be making blankets also. And then we have a future plans to put up another line, which is a flannel blanket and flannel fabrics. So that is in the second phase of this project. But the first phase of this project will be having a blanket line and also the quilting line. And there is also a plan of doubling this capacity after 1 year.
Okay. So, and sir, phase one comprises a capex of 80 crore rupees, right? Spread over the next 1 year?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Sir, and my last question, any capex are you planning for backward integration also, or you're focusing more on brand development and, you know, the garment manufacturing? You know?
See, there is a requirement of some warehousing for the company as the business is growing, and it's growing at, last year we grew at 45%. This year will be growing around 20-25%. So we need more space for our products to be dispatched from central warehouse. So we are putting up two warehouses in Ludhiana. One warehouse is already completed, which is 82,000 square feet. And one warehouse is under construction, which is approximately 2 lakh square feet. So this will be having a cost of around 26-27 crore in the capex. And
no backward integration.
Backward integration. It is just the requirement for the future business and supplies for the warehousing one only.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhiral Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So what is our capacity utilization?
See, right now we are going 100% capacity utilization in both the plants. The thermal and the sweaters.
Okay, so do we have a...
Dhiral Shah, this is the operator. I would request you to go off the speakerphone. There's a lot of background disturbance that is coming from your line.
Yes, so I just wanted to know, as we are guiding for almost 20-25% growth, so do we have incremental capacity, you know, to, you know, achieve our growth guidance?
See, incremental capacity is not the issue. Basically, we are more of 70% of the products are outsourced.
Okay.
So, for cotton segment and woolen, we have a surplus capacity available with us. So, there is no constraint as far as increase in capacity or increase in outsourcing is concerned.
Okay, and sir, any reason why our online sales have been, you know, half if I compare with H1 to H1?
See, we already told that there are variations from quarter to quarter. Some supplies are happening in October, so that will get compensated when the next quarter comes.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Sagar Shah, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to know, like, what top line or revenue growth can we expect for next 2-3 years? Can you give some guidance on that?
I think, we already stated this earlier also, that this year we intend to grow 20-25%, and we hope to grow at the same range. It depends on the macro conditions of the country, and also if the countries keep on growing at this kind of pace, which we have been growing this financial year. So we don't see any difficulty to match the growth rate, whatever we achieve in this financial year also.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amarnath from Ministry of Finance of Onam. Onam, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
You're audible.
Yeah. See, I just wanted to have some clarity in respect of this transfer pricing mechanism between the Monte Carlo as a company and all this Nahar group of the companies, you know. Now, I can see from your annual report as well, a lot of purchase and sales transactions are happening between these two group companies, purchase side and as well as sales side. Can you just give clarity that how you decide this transfer pricing mechanism and what exactly the purchase and sales going on with these group companies?
See, this happens at arm's length prices. So whatever price they sell to the market, they sell to Monte Carlo also. And there are some niche products which are available with our group companies. We buy from them. Like if we talk about the woolen yarn, so they are one of the few suppliers in India who supplies quality woolen yarn, and it comes to us at arm's length prices. And again, it's audited by our auditors also.
And approved by audit committee. And
yeah. I do understand that part, because you know the volume of the transaction of buying and selling, considering your total yearly purchase and yearly sales, is quite substantial. Mani, don't you have the other supplier other than your group company?
No, it's not substantial at all. If you see, it's I think around 10% of the total purchases we do in a year.
And what will sell
less
to
them? 10%. It's less than 10% of the total purchase we do in a year.
And what you sell to them?
If we don't sell anything to them. If there are some requirements from their side, like sometimes they ask for some sweaters and some jackets or some products which are available with us, we sell them at the market price. So basically these transactions all are recorded at arm's length prices.
Second thing, you know, now if I read into your quarter by quarter, all your quarters presentation, it seems that the focus of management is going too much towards the cotton side, and it is being highlighted every time that every quarter my cotton sales, cotton related sales are increasing compared to woolen. Whereas this company's expertise is on the woolen brand, and virtually there is no competition in terms of your brand capability on the woolen side. So I'm just trying to understand why you are going so much towards this cotton side, which is hundreds of other companies are there in the competition, compared to woolen. Though I know woolen is a more of a seasonal product, which, where you have a very huge competitive advantage and brand name and others, which is well established, and even now your competitor cannot come close to it in terms of your brand capability. Why you are going so low there and higher to the side? I understand this seasonality factor, you wanted to mitigate and everything, but is it not going too much on the one side, coming out of your expertise area?
See, I'll answer in two steps. See, being a tropical country where we have 9 months of almost summers and 3 months of winter, it gives less scope for winter products to grow exponentially at a higher growth rate. And secondly, if you see that geographically, it's only the northern and eastern region we have winters. But if you want to compete in south and west, you need to have very strong cotton wear also. So thirdly, we don't want to restrict ourselves only to one category and then to limit ourselves at the mercy of the weather also. If sometimes the weather is not that severe and the weather is mild, it may affect us also. So considering all the facts, the company has taken a thought of going aggressively into cotton wear segment to stay competitive in all the geographies, and also that helps company not to have dependence on one category, and but other categories should support the growth.
Cotton includes winter also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So third, probably the little clarification with respect to see in terms of your brand and the quality of the product, which especially in the last 2 years is improved a lot. But most of our sales are going towards the B2B side, and we don't directly go to the customers. And that's why our working capital in terms of receivables and others is just increased. So what's the company's plan to attract and go directly to the consumers where your working capital things will also be reduced, as well as your pricing power and the brand power can be more visible, rather than going through a lot of middlemen here and there and selling through B2B, not really on a B2C matter?
This is contrary to what we are doing. We have around 336 ABOs which are in direct contact with the customers. We have more than 2,000 retailers who are in direct contact with the customer, whom the goods are going directly from factory to those places. So very strange to know that you are saying that we are doing only B2B.
No,
B2B,
are you selling directly to customer or through your retailer?
We are selling directly to the customers. We are selling directly to the retail partners who sell to the customers. So it's not that I just can't go and directly to the customer and sell my goods. So we have to sell through outlets, we have to sell through retail shops, we have to sell through websites. So they are the, and this is what every brand does in India.
That is what defined is.
Let me rephrase the question. Sorry, maybe Maybe I did not able to put the questions properly. Let me rephrase it. See, the question is that, say it's in other brands, for example, Aditya Birla Fashions or other brands, they directly sell to the customer through different outlets and they collect the cash almost immediately. So if you see the receivable part is really lower. I mean, sometimes they are negative working capital if I take out the inventory part out. Then in our case, is going to retailers or MBO channels and others where we're keeping our receivable stuck and we're getting it at 120 days. Compared to if I sell to direct customer where the realization is immediate. I'm just trying to understand that part.
Yeah, I need to correct you in that. All the brands in India follow the same model. They sell through their own outlets. They sell through multi-brand outlets. They sell through national format stores. They sell through their websites. And yes, all the companies in India are operating in the same way in which we also operate. But the receivables in our cases, I have already told that in winter season, the inventory becomes very high. And also there is a long winter season sale period also. That is why the receivable days have increased. Otherwise, the model is quite same as other brands does in India.
Okay. And what is the cotton price impact now?
Krishna, kindly come back in the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, what Jubilant wanna ask?
We have the next question from the line of Riya Mehta from Aquita Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Ms. Riya, your voice is coming a bit low. Would you wish to go off the speakerphone and come on the handset mode?
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
So my first question pertains to on a macro front, what is the strategy of the company going forward? Are we going to increase our cotton share or we would be increasing both in cotton as well as woolen, so the share remaining constant? This is the first question. Second would be in terms of geographical presence, where are we looking to foray more? And third would be in terms of margin profile, since cotton as a percentage is increasing, do we see this trend to continue going forward? And what kind of outlook would you want to give for that?
See, consciously, we are increasing our cotton presence year by year because we know that, as I answered earlier also, that being a tropical country where we have 9 months of summers and also geographies where the summers are almost 11 months. So consciously, we are moving into more of increasing cotton sales as there are limitations for selling the woolen items in those areas. And secondly, what was the second question?
Geography.
Geography is already gone.
Geography and margins, company margins going forward.
See, margins, I think we'll be able to sustain our margins going forward in this financial year also because all of the increase in cotton prices have been passed on to the consumers.
And what kind of winter order book are we looking for?
What kind of?
Winter order book.
See, winter order book has been quite strong as we said earlier also in our business update which we given in last quarter. So the order booking was more than 15% overall as far as volumes are concerned. So that is giving us the confidence, you know, to reiterate that we will be growing 20-25% this financial year.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sonal Minhas from Prescient Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for my question again. I have two questions. First of all,
Mr. Sonal, your voice is slightly breaking up. If you will come on the handset mode once.
I am on the handset. I don't know if I'm in a bad network. Am I audible? Am I better now?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Sorry for the bit. I had two questions. The first one was around induction of professional management in the top ranks of the company. I wanted to understand, let's say, what is the plan of the company in the next 3-4 years or in the last 2 years? What have we done to actually professionalize the management over and beyond the promoter, the group? And secondly, I think just wanted to understand the related party transactions. I think as a investor or I think as just the analyst community, I think would love to understand a little bit more disclosures around the related party transactions, because if I see FY22, FY21 annual reports as well, there is a fair bit of numbers. So, is this a business call? Can this be done from other entities? Just want to understand the commercials of this in greater bit. And if this can be tapered over the course of next 2-3 years, just want to understand that.
Yeah. So I'll come to the first part of your question, where you are asking about the professional who have been inducted. See, our company is basically a professional-driven company. Definitely, there are owners involved, but they're involving only in the major decisions. All the decisions literally have been taken by the professional, depending upon the markets and depending upon everything. And as far as related party transactions are concerned, it's on arm length prices. I answered earlier also that it's all audited by the auditors also. And this all related party transactions are even less than 10% of our total overall purchase. So I don't think that there is anything which says that we purchase more from our group companies and less from others. It is just less than 10% of the total purchase which has happened in the company.
Okay. And sorry, you're saying something, or should I have a follow-up?
Our audit firm is the best in the country. The Deloitte is auditing us, and they are also auditing the related party transactions.
They have given this requirement to
them. Understand that. And is there a business commercial reason to buy from these groups, because group entities? Just want to understand, is there like they're a sole vendor for that, or is there something which they solely produce?
In case of woolen yarn, Oswal is the only one which produce woolen yarn, and they supply to other Godrej people also. Even they supply to Madura, they supply to US Polo, they supply to Benetton. So they supply to us also, and it's all arm length price.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Danish Mistry from First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question again. I had a question on the stores. You said that, you know, 30 to 45. So these are EBOs. So that would mean that we'd be paying more lease for these stores. And how does that work out for us? Thank you.
No, mostly they are franchise outlets. So 90% of the 85 to 90% of the outlet we open are on franchise mode, where franchise pays the rental. And there are some locations which are high rental locations which the franchise cannot afford to pay. So those are taken by the company and managed by the company. So that is how we proceed every year.
Okay. But do you see any major incremental increase in our rentals because of that? So let's say in the major locations we take and all.
We don't see a major capex going into this one.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. And the rent part also, we don't see a major increase, right?
Rent part is borne by the franchisee normally, but wherever we take the shop on rent, we bear the rent, and then we pay commission to the franchise.
Correct. So, but we don't see a big increase in that rental cost for us on a company level.
We don't see a big increase in rental cost for the company.
All right. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the last question on the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Just wanted to know, just have two questions. One, in the cotton segment and in the woolen segment, so what would be the kind of margin difference between these two? And do we anticipate that the margins of the cotton segment will kind of catch up with the woolen segment as we move along over the next 2 to 3 years? So that is question number one. And second is on the store front, just wanted to get some idea on the economics of the store. So let's say, when do the franchisees generally are able to break even on the stores that they open? So if you have any view on that. Thank you.
Let's come to the first question, where you're asking about the margins in the cotton and woolen segment. I'm happy to share that the cotton segment has actually more margins at PBT level as compared to woolen segment. So that, I think, answers your question. And secondly, we expect the franchisee to break in 3 years as and when he opens the franchise. Break even in 3 years.
And the past performance of the EDO stores is in line with this expectation, right?
Yes, yes. That is why we have been able to increase, and most of our existing franchisees actually open the more showrooms and more EBOs for us. So that shows us that whatever we have planned, actually it is as per that expectations only.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for participating in our conference call. Still, if you have any questions which are not answered or any queries which have not been replied, you can please ask always for our Mr. R.K. Sharma, our CFO, at investormontecarlocorporate.com, and also you can ask our investor agency, Dickinson World, for any queries. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.